For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network. Joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan, I'm Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today on the Patriots Report, we look back at the Combine, talk about the NFLPA report cards and the fact that New England got such a bad grade, and play should they stay or should they go with some of the biggest names in the Patriots free agent class. That and much more, all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. Chris, it's good to see you again. It's been a while since we connected. There's a lot to get to. So let's jump right into it. First of all, I want to read you my favorite and maybe the most Mike Vrabel quote of all time. When we asked him if he watched the draft, he said, yeah, I watch it to see who they're going to try and replace me with every single year. My question to you is, when you were a player, did you watch any of the pre-draft stuff like the Combine, the Senior Bowl when you were playing, and look at guys and say, hey, you know what? I think this guy might be gunning for my job one day.
I think they're all gunning for my job. So no, I never watched the Combine. But while I was playing, I always had the draft pulled up on my phone. And, you know, early on in my career, it was obviously, you know, I wasn't anybody. I was a nobody. So anyone who got drafted at a receiver position or even picked up an undrafted free agency, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, for me, it was fuel to the fire. But then even my time in Buffalo or my time in New England, anybody that they brought in, I don't want to say I took it personal, but I took it personal. So it was, listen, you know, every single year, it's the organization's job to put the best guys on the field, and they're going to always draft people, and they're going to create competition. And I live for competition. But yeah, I mean, if a new guy came into that room, I knew, like, I was never a guy that was going to not help somebody or not help a rookie or not help a guy that was drafted. Like if Coach Belichick thought he was going to be good for our team, like I was all for it, you know? But I also knew that I was going to outplay this kid. And that's kind of how I approached it. Like we could be cool in the meeting rooms, and I'm going to help you if you ask me questions and whatever way I can help you. But when it came down to competing, like, you know, I'm gritty, you know. So I'm doing everything I could, man. And yeah, I think Rabel said it the best. I mean, though, every single kid every year they're trying to replace you. You know, if you're not a franchise quarterback or I really think that's the only position that's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe left tackles, you know, mm-hmm. that are getting the big paydays, but yeah, that's the way the NFL is, right? I mean, there's so many good, talented kids out there, and it's the team's job to find people, but it's my job to keep my job. And I thankfully did that for a pretty long time.
I love the combine. I'll say that, man. I love going to the combine. I love getting a chance to talk to prospects, to talk to coaches, to talk to general managers, to do a little networking, to have a little food and drink, which is always good. I'm curious, did you get a chance to watch any of the combine, and what did you think? I know you said a while back that they need to think about a wide receiver at mm-hmm. either number three or relatively early on. Did anything happen that you saw that might have changed your mind?
No, I mean, I, to be honest with you, man, and I think I've said this before, the combine is eyewash, mm-hmm. right? For the person that's watching, right? I think what goes missing in the broadcasting and everything is the stuff that you guys are doing, right? That's the teams are talking to the players, they're setting up interviews, they're doing their due diligence on guys that they're thinking about drafting. Those are the things that we don't see. And I think that's why the combine is very good. It's like the first introduction to this guy or this player, to this team. And, you know, you're making your overall first impressions. Every single kid at that combine can run fast. They're all strong, and they're all very good at football, or else they wouldn't have been invited to it. Right. So a guy, I mean, listen, the 4.21 that kid ran, I watched that. I couldn't tell you. I mean, that was amazing. But like, again, kids are in tights and track cleats and don't have football pads on, and there's no one in front of them, and they spend months training and doing the drills. It's not football.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Is it impressive that some of these, how big and fast these guys are? And is it good for these teams to see them up close and their, you know, how well they get in and out of breaks initially? You know, that's like, again, it's first impression. This is your first meeting with these guys and their first time really seeing them maybe up close in person. So I think for that, I think it's very good. I think it gives the teams, you know, a pretty good foundation of you know, who they want to draft, and maybe some guys that they didn't think that they wanted to that stood out to them. But I just think that there's so much more that goes into this game that just doesn't really get tested at the combine. So, you know, I think, you know, you kind of take it with a grain of salt, right? That a kid can run a 4.21, but, you know, can he play football?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, well, you know, one can only find out until he puts the pads on.
If you were in charge of the combine and you could tweak it a little bit, take one drill out for any of the players and replace it with something else. Like there was a couple of people who said, look, the next time a lineman runs 40 yards is going to be the first time. So
you know what? I think that's more impressive than some of these kids running 4.3s. Like, every single one of them, I mean, the DB times I'm looking at, it's like there's no discrepancy anymore. They all run 4.3s. The receivers, they all run 4.4, 4.3. It's like, all right, like, this is not even fun anymore. Like, someone ran a 4.3, you know, 10 years ago, and you're like, that dude's fast.
Yeah.
Right. But now it's just up and down the line. I see a lineman run a sub-5, you know, sub-5.40. I'm like, dude, that kid can fly at 300 plus pounds. You know, it's hard. You know, it's like you're not going to add football drills and like actual real football drills. I mean, if that were the case, then yeah, let's put on a helmet, put on some pads, and let's do one-on-ones.
Well, that's one of the things that a defensive lineman said is that, you know, they can do those things at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
Where they can line up, they'll put on pads. And that was his preference. He said, look, if you can take one drill out and put another drill in, let's take the defensive lineman running the 40 out. And have defensive linemen and offensive linemen go one-on-one for 5 seconds just to see technique, footwork, all that stuff, to get a little better sense of who these guys are as players.
Yeah. I would love to see receivers and DBs compete, you know, and again, you know, they do that at the Senior Bowl, but not all these guys go to the Senior Bowl and not all the Senior Bowl guys are at the combine. And would you really get a sense for who can play ball? If you line someone up in front of them or you put someone, you know, like, yeah, then you're going to really tell, right? Because, you know, some of these fast guys might just be fast guys. Right. And that's okay. There's definitely places on teams for those kids that can just flat out fly. Right. I've played with them and some of them are very good football players and they develop, but you know, running across the field, you know, just getting a couple balls thrown at you. Like, I mean, that's your job, right? That shouldn't be very hard. Right. And it's just kind of, you know, I like the deep ball. I like being able to see guys be able to track the ball with their eyes and their hands. I mean, that's arguably one of the tougher catches in football, right? For someone to get a ball launched over your head, try to track it with your, you know, eyes over your shoulder, not drift. I mean, there's a lot of things from a technical standpoint that can go into it that you're saying, hey, you know, a kid's really drifting. That pass is not going to be complete, right? A good defensive back is just going to run right through it, done. But a kid that holds his line, tracks his thing over his shoulder, you know, that's a completed pass or a pass interference, right? Like that you can see, or a kid going up and you know, high pointing a ball, catching with his hands. I do like to see all of that. But you know, like I said, you know, running across the field, you know, at, you know, full speed, which you should be doing in most of your routes at the combine, like, all right, well, maybe let's just do a couple reps of one-on-ones. Right. And you know, you just from a coaching standpoint, you're going to see what this kid's made of, man. I mean, right away, as opposed to, you know, obviously we can watch college film, but college film is different, right? This is the next level of competition, right? The person that's going to stand across from you is the best of the best, you know, and that's when you tell, right? I can tell you every single time that I came into training camp, if we drafted a kid, undrafted free agency, whatever it was, I could tell you right away if he was a good player or not, just by how he did in one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Right? How he got off the line, if he was physical, was he able to did he have a plan at the line of scrimmage? Did he, you know, was he able to create separation like right away, or did he just freeze? Right? Or did he get hemmed up every single time and didn't really know what to do? You know, that's football, right? So would that be cool? Yeah, but I doubt that we're gonna see that. So and if that were the case, all the agents would be telling their kids not to compete. So
yeah, well, that's the other thing too. The attendance would probably be cut in half because you're not gonna want to guys you're gonna have guys who are not gonna want to risk injury.
Yeah, of course. I get that too, right? Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of money on the line and a whole career in front of you. There's no sense in putting a helmet on pads and getting hurt at the combine, you know, like that's stupid. But again, it would be cool, but you know, we'll wait till August. That's fine.
I have a philosophy that for years and years, the one measuring stick that Bill used for most of his wide receivers was short area quickness, and specifically the three cone drill. You go back, and this is the case with a lot of the really good cornerbacks and defensive backs that played New England for an awful long time. You had a great three-cone time. Julian, Danny, Wes, Daron Harmon, Devin McCourty, Deion Branch. For years and years, it wasn't so much that straight line speed as opposed to that, you know, the shuttle drills, the three-cone, the again, you know, the ability to get open in a relatively short space. I think it's a good that's a good measuring stick to find guys who can do that, who can get separation.
Yeah. I do agree with you on that. I mean, I think those two drills, you know, as technical as they are when it comes to actually doing the drill, I mean, that's probably, you know, you can see a lot, right? You can see how well a guy moves, you know, instead of just running a straight line. You can see how well he changes direction. You can see how well he gets from, you know, from stop to go, right? And I think that's from a receiver and a defensive back, those are two drills that I definitely would be paying close attention to. You know, the more specific stuff, right? Like the three cone drill, or for a defensive back, you know, how well is he able to get in and out of his back pedal? For a receiver, you know, the initial drills that they do. How well does he do a speed cut, right? Like, how well does he get around a cone? How long does it take him to stop? Is he choppy at the top? Is he, you know, is he more of just a raw kid that really need that, just with a little bit of coaching, is going to be very, very good? Or, you know, is he just a straight line fast guy that just can't put the brakes on? Right. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen all of these guys, every single year. You know, you're going to see guys that just can't flat out can't stop, but they can run, you know, and listen, the teams will draft speed, you know, because that's necessary to have, you know, put a guy out there that's just going to flat out fly. I mean, listen, Tyreek Hill was one of those guys. I mean, he could change direction, and he was a damn good athlete, you know, from the start, but he was so raw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a guy like him, like, obviously a lot of potential, and he's developed into a really, really good receiver from everything, you know, getting in and out, running, getting off press. I mean, you know, it's fun to watch him play receiver, but initially he was a gadget guy.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think there are specific drills at the combine that you should watch more closely than others.
All right. I want to read off the NFLPA survey that came out over the weekend, that listed it. What it does is talk to all the players, and they kind of vote on where this team lands, where they land. And the Patriots were 29th overall out of 32 teams.
What were the questions for all this? I was surprised by this.
Yeah, the questions were the categories here. I'll read off the categories to you. Treatment of families, food/cafeteria, nutritionist/dietitian, locker room, training room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coaches, and ownership. And there's a lot to take away. We could sit here for 2 hours kind of breaking this thing down, but I wanted to get your take on a few different things. They finished dead last in the weight room category. Patriots are the only team in the NFL with a majority of players feeling that their team's facility is worse than the places they could train offsite. What was the weight room like there in your estimation? You're a guy who spent some time with a few other teams around the league when you were there about a decade or so ago. What was it like? And is this a fair assessment in your understanding?
I think that that's a emotional motivated response by most guys. And I probably would feel the same way. I think that, and I'm comfortable talking about all this because I was never happy with the weight room. I think it was too, they tried to control it too much. They didn't let guys do what they wanted to do. I've seen too many guys go in there and get hurt because they were squatting and really shouldn't be squatting. And, you know, there's so much emphasis on, you know, what movements people should do. I mean, listen, these guys are professional athletes, right? And they got here for a reason. If they're not good at a specific movement, then it should be your job to give them something different, not make them do something that you think is going to help them throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of went in there pretty much right away and was like, listen, I don't squat. I haven't squatted for 10 years and I'm not going to start now. And it had nothing to do with the strength coach, had nothing to do with their programming. It's just like, listen, you want me to be available, then let's figure out a way to do this. And I think a lot of that is emotionally motivated response to them just not being happy with the way that things are, because the way you're, and listen, it is what it is. Could it be nicer? Sure. But, you know, I mean, I think, unfortunately, the way that things are going, you know, you see all these teams, they're just redoing all their weight rooms. And, you know, I mean, you look at Buffalo's weight room and some of these other places, and they're like five star, man. I mean, they got it all. So, you know, maybe some of that is that, and guys have obviously now are not, they're coming from different places, so they've seen more things. And I'm sure that, you know, we could make the weight room a little bit nicer, but I was never like, dude, I don't need a, you know, shiny plates and a beautiful weight room. Like, dude, you're in there to do a job. But the overall grade I was surprised about, because the rest of the stuff, like, again, I think it was so emotionally motivated, right? They had a crappy year. guys weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They did get good grades when it came to food, the cafeteria.
Good.
Because that was middle of the pack. Yeah, nutritionist, dietitian, both of them got B's. Training staff got a B. The head coach got a B, B minus actually. The other thing that jumped out for me was they got an F when it came to treatment of families.
Interesting.
They were one of 11 teams that does not provide game day childcare, which seems to be such, for me anyway, at least from the outside.
I didn't even know they provided game day childcare.
Yeah, well, there are other teams. They don't. They're one of 11 teams apparently that don't provide game day childcare. There's also two. The lockers, I guess.
They have a nursery in the stadium.
I guess they don't. That's the thing. And that would seem to be, you take a room in Gillette Stadium and you put some crayons there and you just, you know, you hire a babysitter. And that's, it would seem like a really easy
thing. It is grown. These are grown men with families. They like figure it out. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you got to spend a little extra coin, dude, I put my family up in a box for a game or something. My kids were going to come or don't bring the kids or bring a nanny or hire a babysitter. Like, come on, you don't need that. Be spoon fed everything. We can let's call a spade here or bring your kids and just like, right. Don't you want your kids to be at games?
Yeah. That's I would think so. And again, there's stuff that like, we don't even think about. Again, from the outside, that's something where you go, oh, okay, well, I guess that would make sense. That would make things more comfortable for families. The other thing was team travel got a D, and this jumped out. I thought this was interesting. Players' ratings of their travel schedule position, second worst in the league, because they had to go. And again, I think this goes back to what you were saying before, an emotional response, traveling to Germany, just kind of a lot of not great trips. They don't make players have roommates on the road. And then the other thing, too, was the players feel that Bill Belichick was rarely willing to listen to the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard.
And again, an emotional reaction to probably a rough season, I'm imagining.
Because I was saying, travel can't be that bad. I mean, they got a private, they got a nice little decked out private plane for.
That's fair.
You know, so that's, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, they had to travel. They were West Coast. I mean, they had a bunch of games, you know, Germany. So listen, my time there, the travel was great. The way that they treated my family, couldn't have been happier. I never had a problem with, you know, when I started having kids, you know, getting them to games or not getting them to games, you know, I handled that myself. I didn't expect my team to have to like be held accountable for me having children. Like that seems kind of ridiculous to me. But I mean, listen, I get some guys, maybe, you know, their, you know, families travel and they, you know, want to be able to have somewhere to, you know, drop their kids for the game. That's fine. But again, like you said, that's an easy fix. So like, sure. All right, well, let's make daycare. Right. Locker room, I was always happy with, you know, I thought the locker room was fine. Right. I mean, I think the player in today's world is just so accustomed to really, really, really nice things, you know, and, you know, at the end of the day, like, let's just win football games, right? Kansas City won Super Bowl. You see their weight room?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see how, you see their locker room?
And their ownership,
how that facility's run?
Their ownership was dead last, for what it's worth.
Right. So you're going to tell me that all of this stuff has any implication on whether or not you win football games or not? No, right? Just let's focus on winning football games and not whether or not, you know, we got nice locker rooms or child daycare during Sundays.
to your point, and I think this is interesting, about it being kind of an emotional response, Jacksonville went from like the mid-20s to number 5.
Yeah.
And they created, they did a couple of things, including, you know, a brand new weight room, all sorts of new facilities. So this is the kind of thing that can be turned around relatively quickly, I imagine. Sure. Does this matter? I get the sense from talking to you that this doesn't really matter.
Didn't affect me when, like, in the day-to-day of me playing, that facility had everything that I needed. It had a weight room. It had a training staff. It had hot tubs, cold tubs. It had, you know, deprivation tanks. You know, it had everything. Yes. Did I seek outside stuff and outside? But like, that's me being a professional and knowing how to take care of my body, right? I don't expect everything to be handed to me. Was the food great? Yes. I thought the travel was, yeah, I thought the plane was really nice. You know, like, it was great. I mean, you know, did I think my family was taken care of? Like, yeah. I mean, if you ask for things, they were pretty well accommodating to making sure that, you know, you got the number of tickets that you needed. And, you know, if you needed better seats, like, I think they, you know, I'm pretty sure they were willing to try to help you out. And, you know, I would say that my family was pretty happy. I mean, listen, man, they loved coming down into the tunnel and getting, you know, it's like, you know, they're seeing walking through the hallway after games. You get to see all the pictures, and, you know, Bill or Tom would walk by and they'd all be like, oh my God. And, you know, so like that to me was, it was the, and again, the locker room that I had when I was there was an amazing locker room of guys, you know, that very, very close. We were all very close. I mean, you know, we could all went to family barbecues together. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how well I think everyone meshed together. And I think if that team were to take the same test or same questionnaire, I think that you would have seen a very different response.
Exactly.
There might have been a couple areas, you know, that you would have seen some fluctuation. I think the weight room probably would have been one of them, but I think that would, again, not because of the facilities, but I think it just would have been from an overall, an emotional response.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I want to change gears here real quick. We're taping this on Monday, March 4th, and Mike Evans apparently just returned to the Bucks on a deal worth roughly just under, I think, $30 million a year. Reportedly, the Patriots are targeting him as a possible signee. Now the free agent market is a little bit thinner. Michael Pittman Jr., Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley. In your mind, does this change the thinking at all for New England and maybe make Marvin Harrison more of a priority or a team like the Patriots that's in need of a true impact receiver? Or is this just still quarterback at number three? That's the focus. That's where they're headed.
It's tough. I mean, listen, the quarterback obviously has to be addressed. You know, I've seen a bunch of different things and out there of free agents that we could be possibly targeting at the quarterback position.
Well, the one is Baker and that came up today.
And that's the one that I was going to reference was, you know, he played great last year, you know, and he is from everything that you read from last year, right? From everything that kid has gone through in his whole career, he's a locker room guy. He's got a lot of energy. He's matured a ton and he's going to go out there and he's going to play his freaking ass off. And I think that's someone that you can build a team around, right? I mean, he's been there, he's done it, he knows how to do it, he knows how to win, And he knows how to work. And I think that's that easily is someone that you can build a team off of. If that's the case, then yeah, I mean, let's take a receiver right away. Right. But I think we need, that needs to be known. I think we can't, without knowing if we were going to have a guy like Baker, I don't know if you can pass on taking a quarterback at, in round number one.
The thing that I think we should be talking more about is Mayfield's relationship with Alex Van Pelt. The two were together for a stretch in Cleveland. Yeah. And Baker speaks very highly of him. I think that they would have to maybe overpay for him a little bit, but I think that it's worthwhile maybe pulling on that thread and saying, look, come to New England, work with me. We're going to be the guys who restore this offense. We're going to restore some luster to this offensive game that we can make this happen. You and I, we did it in Cleveland. We were able to work together. Let's do the same thing here in New England.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to lean on Van Pelt pretty heavily on that one, right? Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to recruit the hell out of him. And, I think it's got to – I mean, for Baker to go there, I mean, I think for him, he's got to know. It's like, listen, man, you're not the only free agent we're bringing in, right? We're going to draft a receiver early. We're gonna go into free agency. We're going to look for guys. We're going to bring in some help. We're going to bring in some talent around you. You know, we're going to bring in some guys on the offensive line to beef that up, and we're going to have a good team. Right. And I think he has to know that going into that. And it can't be a situation where they tell him all these things, and then, you know, we go into the season with the same, you know, cast of people. And, you know, now he's unhappy. You know, the team's not, so I think a lot of these things, they can't just be, empty promises. I think, they got to show him, that they're willing to go out, spend the money, bring in the guys, go into the draft, have a good draft. So, for all intents and purposes, yeah, I think Baker could be a good fit. I mean, I love the guy's energy. I love the way that he played this year. He is a hard-nosed, he's a football player, man. I mean, listen, is he going to make all the right decisions? Maybe not. Is he going to take some chances? Sure. But I like that. Can he throw the ball down the field? Yeah. And can he move? Absolutely. And is he going to put his head down to get a couple extra yards? Yeah, he's gone. He's going to try to run your ass over too if he's fired up. So I love that, man. I mean, he's a guy that I could play for. So, and he'd bring some energy to that locker room for sure.
All right. Want to wrap it up by going down the list of Patriots free agents. With free agency literally a week and a half away, I think right now we're looking at it. They have some decisions to make, and I want you just to give me a rapid fire, thumbs up, thumbs down, keep him, let him walk. We're not going to do the whole list here because there's 20 guys, but I just some of the key names here, and give me a couple of sentences as to why you would want to keep him or why you would want to let him walk. We'll start with Kyle Duggar.
Played his ass off, right? I mean, I think that's like kind of the core of that defensive team. And I think that those 11 guys that were out there throughout the year, they played well, right? And I think that you're going to want to try to keep some of that defense intact that was together, that played well together, and then, fill in the pieces here and there. But, he impressed me this year. And I think he's a good football player.
Michael Wenyu.
I think the offensive, that's I'm in middle of the pack for me. I think the offensive line really is at this point right now, I think you're going to want to keep some of the, like David Andrews, right? You're going to want to have some familiar faces in that locker room. But do I think that every other one of those guys is, do we have to bring him back? No, I don't.
I think this guy might fall into the same category for you, Miles Bryant.
Yeah. Same category. Right.
Especially if Marcus Jones, John Jones, and Christian Gonzalez all come back.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I think we're probably in the, do we need another lockdown corner? Do we need someone that can fill in as a dime or a star? Like, I mean, John Jones showed that, he could go out there and play on the outside and he could do it. So I think he's not someone that we need, would need to bring back.
Hunter Henry.
The tight ends was ebb and flow for me this year. I think I'd say yes. I would. I don't think that the talent in the free agency, you know, market for a tight end is great. I think that he has shown that he has the ability of playing very well. I think that last year was a lot of, there was so much frustration and that offense was just so inconsistent. I think given another year, you know, getting healthy and, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, revamped offense, a little bit more energy, I'd like to see, you know, with a quarterback and things going and pointing in the right direction. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see him back.
I'm intrigued by the idea of Harrison Bryant on another topic, who played for Van Pelt last 4 years in Cleveland. The only Patriots only have one tight end under contract going into 2024, LaMichael Petaway. So,
right.
You know, you just need bodies there too. I'll ask you too about Gesicki and Pharaoh Brown. I think Gesicki can walk. He's a great guy, but I think he can walk. Yeah. I think it was a bit of an underwhelming year. I love Pharaoh Brown. Pharaoh Brown could do a bunch of different things. He'll be cost effective, a good veteran. Yeah, you keep him.
Yeah, 100%. Cheap, you know, and you never know what those guys, man. I mean, you keep giving these guys chances, right? And bring a guy like Pharaoh Brown back. I mean, he shined in a couple of games, right? And made some good plays. I mean, those are the types of guys that are gonna listen. The season ended. I guarantee that kid's working out, right? Mm-hmm. And he wants that. He does not want to be a third tight end in this league, right? He wants to be a starter. So I love that. And you're gonna be able to sign him back for cheap. And he's a guy that's probably going to come in and work his tail off to try to get a starting position.
How about Zeke? I think if they can make the money work.
Yeah.
I think he's going to ask for a little bit more than they're willing to spend.
He ran hard, man. I mean, yeah. and the games that he was asked to carry the rock, I mean, he ran, right? And I think he didn't – listen, did he have a couple fumbles early on in the season? But, like, that's fine. You know, it happens. I think that – he was new team, new atmosphere, playing outside, you know, all these things. I mean, I'm not making excuses for the guy, but, I'd love to see him back. He's a veteran. He's a veteran running back. He knows how to do it. He knows how to win. He knows how to play. And I think that's a good guy to have in the locker room as long as the attitude is there.
Kendrick Bourne.
1,000% bring back. He's all time for me right now. And it's not because he watches my film and says that I was a great receiver.
For those of you who aren't aware, you really did that during the course of the year.
He impressed me, man. I mean, I get chills thinking about it because it was such a bummer when he got hurt. But that dude can play. And when he was asked to step up and be that guy, he was, and he had a lot of energy about him, and he made the catches. He makes the catches in traffic. So I would love if they can make that work and get him back, and he can come back healthy and, you know, be a veteran guy in that room. I think that would be huge.
Jalen Mills.
Walk. You know, good player.
Decent guy, but just not
decent. Yeah. Decent guy. I don't know what the market is for Jalen and, you know, what type of contract he's going to be looking for. So would it be a terrible person to come back and resign? Would be great to have him back. Again, veteran guy that knows how to play the game. I think the more of those guys that you can have in a room like that, I think the better. But again, for him to come back, I just think it has to work for both sides. And if he can, great.
Last guy on the list here, Josh Uche. I'll say this. He was more excited about Gerard Mayo becoming the head coach than I think anyone on the roster. He was there at the press conference and he was fired up, man.
Yeah. I mean, what year is this for him?
4.
Right.
Just wrapped up for the fourth year. And I think he could come back at a relative, and I'm putting up my gold fingers here when I say this, a relative discount. Because he had a down year. He was banged up a little bit. He loves Mayo. Although the chances are, based on what he did a couple of years ago, someone could very well, you know, double-digit sack. Someone could very well, you know, slide him a pretty big beta.
Yeah, but again, someone might not just because of his down year. So, and if a guy like that, you know, I don't know the guy, but sounds like a locker room guy. Sounds like a lot. To be honest with you, it sounds like that whole defense is locker room guys. And if you're able to bring back that defense and not really change things, but add some playmakers, And with Gerard kind of at the helm of this thing, I think, you know, that defense is going to have another very, very good year.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again next week on the verge of free agency.
Love it. Good to see you, Chris.
Take care. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platforms anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.